Yeah. Welcome to season 5 of Sessions.
Yeah, it goes like this right here.
This is the year.
Like,
we get it.
Niggas always be hollering peace.
Season 1 was fun. Season 2, it was cool.
Every time I try to get a piece
season
of mind.
Season 3 was crazy.
Niggas try to get a piece of mind.
And season 4,
so I gotta grab my piece.
Got us ready.
It's the return of the gangsta. Gangsta.
This is the year we return to high stakes. This is the year we get our own place. This is the year we pay back every motherfucker we owe. This is the year. Poker session 48 of 150. The come up. The lead up. Last you heard, I lost $2,600 at Ocean's 11. And we had just crossed the border into Thursday, April 21st. 2022, and I got slow rolled, and I didn't think it was a funny one, and I didn't know the guy, and I was not in a great place, and I fucking said something. I said, get a clue, man. And yeah, that's, slow rolls are good, but I don't know. I wasn't perfect in this moment. Shocker. I wasn't. I was low in my cycle, and I don't need to belabor that everyone has a cycle, but everyone has a fucking cycle. And some have very shallow cycles. And that means they just don't swing that much emotionally, spiritually. And I believe mine's deeper than average, where I go down and I go higher and lower than most people. And then there are people that actually need to be medicated, and theirs are more exaggerated than mine. And anyways, I was low in mine. And, it, you know, I can go months without going low, and here I am, and it was obviously triggered by Max Payne Monday, and, you know, I didn't really let it wash over me. I was sleepless that night, and I got back to work Tuesday and Wednesday, and not only did I went back to work as a poker player on Tuesday and a commentator, and then Wednesday a poker player and a commentator, and then another session I put in on my way back down to San Diego to get my schedule right. I want my Monday sessions to be delivered on Fridays. It just makes the most sense. That's when I do the STP scoreboard check. And yeah, anyways, got back here and I wasn't hungry, man. And that's the fucking scary shit. I mean, it's not that scary, but that's when you know you're there. Just no appetite and can't sleep. And finally, I slept a little. And I woke up on Thursday, April 21st, pretty low. It's when mental becomes physical. You fucking feel it. And I got to work anyways. And then I went and got my son, and I got a tiny boost just seeing this kid. And then I went and got my daughter, and I got another tiny boost, even though she was having a bad day. Something happened. She's 12 and nothing major, but she's having a bad day. And she's been the model child. She's just been too great. So when she's having a bad day, I just give her a room. I just say, it's okay. We love you. You know that. I'm going to drop you off at your mom's, or I'm going to take you guys there, and you're going to go change in your basketball uniform. And when you come back out of that house, your energy will be up. Because, you know, it wasn't anything major that happened. That's fine. On the ride there, you can feel down and mopey and go get changed and come out. And you got a basketball game. And they come back and get in my, hopefully trusty, so far trusty, 2003 Toyota 4Runner. And we head down to her school where her game's going to be. And she tells me she's not sure she's going to get much time. And that's okay. I'm not going to complain about a school team and her not getting time. And it's cool to see before the game, she's running around having fun with the Romanian LMF. And it's funny, these people have been in the podcast for years now. And she's growing up like my daughter is, and she's taller, but they're having fun. And there's politics in youth sports and middle school sports and all that. And it's just cool to see kids being kids. And her dad, of course, is the coach of the club team, and he and I had an incident. Well, he walks over and gives me a water bottle that my daughter left. And I don't really talk to her. I just say thanks. And I don't really need to talk to him. I have understanding for him. And I don't really need to. And I just am, you know what I need on this day? I need a teddy bear. I do. And luckily I got one. And my teddy bear's name is Little Fuego. And I just say, man, you sit with me. And he's just like, he's just a sweet kid and just big heart and he's cute. It's probably not fair to use him as a teddy bear on this day. I think it actually happens a lot at his other house where people kind of lean on him for, you know, emotional support because he's just so upbeat and whatever. And I don't know. No one has a perfect childhood. I guess it's better to be too loved, as long as it doesn't get weird, than not loved enough. Or at all. Let me take a sip of this coffee. So my daughter's basketball game starts, and guess who's in the starting lineup? Little Miss Fuego. And she is guarding the best player on the other team. And the best player on the other team has a lot of swagger and is going through her legs a lot, like Steph Curry out there. And this is a girl who was on the Lakers. She was on the team that I coached to a championship 3 years ago, I guess. And she was passive, and she was a soccer player, and she was fast. And I knew her family. She had uncles that play Major League Baseball and whatnot. I knew she was an athlete, and we just, you do, with kids, you just kind of nudge them. You just let them be who they are, and you kind of nudge them to get better and more aggressive. And when they do something, they will all show flashes of good stuff. And then you congratulate the hell out of that, and hopefully they like that feeling, and then they do it more. Well, this girl was like a bench player on the Lakers, despite being a fourth grader and third and fourth and being a really good athlete. And then towards the end of the season, she came along well, to the point where I was putting her in the starting lineup and trying to get her a little more time. And well, now here she's a star. She's a stud. She's Steph Curry on the other team. And only problem for her on this day is she's got the glove guarding her. She's got, my daughter is savage fucking defender. And it's just fun to watch. And it's a defensive battle. It's after one quarter, it's 2-0. So not a lot of offense. Both teams, this team beat my daughter's team the previous time. And then in the second quarter, my daughter catches a pass like in transition and she doesn't use the box. I tell her to use the box, put Jack in the box. It's so easy. Playing basketball is easy. You're going to think too much and that's why you miss easy shots. Well, if you just put the ball in the box, it goes in. Well, anyways, she didn't. She had a nice little floater, though. No backboard, swish, and that was nice. And then in the second half, the game was close, and it was a 2-on-1, and she was back, and the star from the other school is coming at her, and she has another girl going to the block, and my daughter closed out on her, got her to pick up her dribble and pass, and then closed out to the other girl and put her hands up so she couldn't shoot. And then the team caught up, and it was a tie ball or whatever, tied up ball. And her coach, who also coaches the high school team, the varsity high school team, he lost his shit. He was so impressed with this defensive play. It was really high basketball IQ to close out and then get back. Wait till she commits to a pass and then get back real quick. And it was cool. I got chills. It's nice to see the coach, you know, lost his shit. Which, if you know basketball and you see something great, you will lose your shit. And my daughter's starting to get taller and she's fast now. And it feels like she's going to get more and more athletic in the next year. I feel like she's starting to develop. And I wrote, these girls are fucked. I don't know, but she's a savage and she's got all the fundamentals and she just needs to be, you know, bigger, faster, stronger. And looks like that's starting to happen. Very successful basketball game. Came back here, broke my fast and cooked for my kids. And my goal, the reason this one, I titled it The Come Up, was I needed to come up. I knew I was low, obviously, after that Monday. And I kind of just worked through it Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. And I know I'm low, real low. And I need to come up because I'm going to be back at work on Monday. I'm going to be playing poker. And even if I'm not playing on stream, I'm going to be playing bigger games. And that's the whole point, to return to high stakes. And 10-20 no limit is high stakes. It just is. And I need to do well as a commentator and a player. And so the whole goal is, okay, you're going to feel like shit for a few days because something pretty traumatic happened Monday night, all around the loss, being up and losing a bunch, and then seeing all the shit on the internet. And it was, you know, it's a setback more than trauma, but it fucked me up. And okay, so you can kind of work through it, but eventually it's going to wash over you, whether you try and fade that or not. And then, okay, let it feel like shit for a few days. It's okay to feel like shit for a few days. And it really helps to know that you're going to cycle back up no matter what. You could mope in your room. If you need to be medicated, you could not take medication. You could do all the things that seem like you will never come back up. You just will. Human beings just cycle. So I know that, but I'm trying to short circuit this shit. I'm trying to do everything I can to get back up before Monday comes. And that's why this is called the come up. And yeah, so one thing that's gonna help me is working a lot. And it feels good. And when you're telling the story of your life, if you can get through some of the stuff, once I spew it into this microphone, it's pretty much done, right? I'm kind of through it. And that's why this has been so therapeutic to me, even though it's offended some people in my personal life, or they didn't like it. I don't know if offended is probably the right word, and upset others. It's my therapy. It's getting this shit out it makes me feel better. And occasionally it gives me insight into some shit and lets me become less self-destructive, my biggest thing. And yeah, I'm a degen. I'll always be a degen, probably. But I am nowhere near the degen I used to be. I work every single day. I never am late for work. I'm early for work every day. I prepare every day. Not like I used to be. And anyways, drove my kids back to their moms and came back here. And it was time to watch the bloodbath, the Monday night Max Payne Monday bloodbath. That's 5 hours on my TV while I'm taking notes. And my first thought is, man, I didn't play horrible. Like, it was, the loss kind of stung me. Well, it definitely stung me into like a state of shock a little bit. Yeah, it's 30K. I haven't lost that in a very long time. And, you know, it's a huge fucking hit. Well, so then you kind of just listen to everything, or, you know, you see stuff on the internet. Oh, did I play the worst session ever? Did I really punt it off? And the answer is no. And part of it, you can see the percentages. Percentages don't mean jack shit. They just don't when you're playing against ranges, and you could never know the turn card hit your opponent where you were favored on the flop and now you bet the turn. And I know that Raver was rooting for me a lot. And so he was upset, and it looked much worse than it was, but it's not that simple of, you know, well, this is bad. You shouldn't be putting in 2,000 with King 3 suited. Specific reads change things. I don't call 2,000 with King 3 suited in a vacuum, but when you have a read that your opponent is light and you're in position, well, fuck it. I go with my reads. And could you re-squeeze with the king? You could, but also, you know, your opponent is the least scared, or, you know, he's not scared money at all. And he might just jam with a hand like A7 off, so you've seen it before. So then you're really fucked, right? And that's just a hand he could have there. And so it seems much worse than it is. My specific reads are what has made me so much money my career. It's also why some hands look so awful, is because you're thinking in terms of absolute value instead of relative value. And relative value changes greatly when you're able to take out the really good hands from their range. And same with like the hand I had 6-3 of spades against DJ Washburn. I defended, it's a standard defend against someone opening super wide, and I think he opened 3x, and there's an ante, and it's pretty standard. And then on jack 5-3, you flop a pair, and there's two hearts, and you check, and he checks back, and you just get a read that he doesn't have anything, right? And the turn is a 10 of hearts. Well, now any two big cards has a gut shot, any heart has a flop. Now it's time to bet, right? And I did, but he had ace 10, he turned to 10. You can't know that. You're playing against a range. That play is so standard, but when I'm betting on the turn, the percentages look awful, but it doesn't mean anything. And I talked to Raver about this. I said, dude, you gotta like stop criticizing people's play because it's not always correct. And it sets the culture of now everyone's gonna be criticizing people's play based on percentages. And that's not what you want. Like as a poker player, if someone's actually playing bad, you don't wanna criticize it. And you just want, if someone's, you know, on one or going off, just say they are, like, you know, but there's merit to almost everything someone does at a poker table. And actually watching this 5 hours, I was like, what the fuck? Like, that's how I play poker. I do take the game to the street sometimes, and yeah, it's better when it's short ring. Shorthanded. It's just so much better than full ring to start really just making the game huge and putting the $300 straddle on. But it's also a little bit results oriented to, yeah, you're in position. There's 5K in the middle. You have king 3 suited against 10 9 suited. I like my side there. Let's run that situation a million times. And how profitable am I on different boards and whatnot? It's so profitable. So yeah, I was a little upset, like, well, wait a second. I did not play the worst session ever. I don't know. I had more work to do, and I was organizing a 10-20 for the next day, and I crashed. And I woke up early on Friday, April 22nd, 2022. And Fridays are my work days. They're my no interaction with the outside world days. I'm just going to basically, you know, hopefully my notes are ready. I'm going to review them. I'm going to record. I'm going to produce. And I'm going to have a lot of recording to do. And anyways, I also get a game going for Mark Goon and others that want to play a little bit bigger on Fridays. And anyways, I did that. And then I recorded the prelude to the Hustler Casino Live two-parter. And the reason I added an extra session is, I already mentioned, I want to get the night I play on stream, I want that to be delivered on a Friday because it'll be a two-parter and it'll have the scoreboard check. It just makes too much sense not to. And so then I recorded part one of the Max Payne Monday, and it went like an hour and a half. And so now I'm doing way more content than I thought I was going to do. But I'm also committed to the story in a sick way where I will sacrifice my well-being a little bit for it. And it's not about the angle of money. It's about just telling the story. I don't know. I think that's what storytellers do. They obsess. And when I was a songwriter, I couldn't sleep until I got one line right. I would stay up all night trying to get one line. And I think, you know, it just goes to the territory of being a writer or a storyteller. Finally broke my fast on this day and watched some NBA. And I wrote, losing all bets again. And it feels like a switch has been flipped. And it's crazy. I'm recording this. You know, I tell the story on a 1 or 2 week delay. And then I don't feel like I'm losing all my NBA bets again because I'm not. But it just feels like that. And hopefully someday I'll make peace with pretty normal variance. Maybe when I'm out of debt, I'll feel better about the swings. And anyways, I had to take a nap. Anytime I eat, kind of what keeps me going is not eating. And then when I eat, I just have to take a nap. And then I recorded the drop you heard on last Friday, a week from today. And it was called Max Payne. And I didn't like what I was saying as I was saying it from a standpoint of I want to be happy, I want to be healthy, I want to come up. I didn't like it But I also liked it as a storyteller in a weird way. And I didn't like criticizing people that have been incredibly supportive to me. But also that's how I was fucking feeling on the night, so I tell it. And I think there's just no choice for me. I'm not gonna hold back. If someone upsets me, I'll say it. And even though I have understanding for them, they're not trying to. And it, you know, because that's what you're tuned in for, is what's really going on. And yeah, I just I didn't like reliving that sleepless, weird night. Jesus. You know, Monday night into Tuesday morning, and the darkness, the fucking need for distraction, that's real. And it was a manic feeling looking back after I got back to my hotel room and ate those chicken wings and Caesar salad. It wasn't depressed. I was manic just in a weird way. Like, I just couldn't sleep. I just had some like thing burning inside of me. And then, you know, and the pain came later. That came when I started driving down to Ocean's 11 Wednesday night, and then when I, you know, tried to sleep early Thursday morning, and Thursday night, and you know, Friday, and that's when that came. Anyways, I did have a beer Friday night, and I got a little escape. It's these Belgians, man. They take me away for a little bit, and they don't make me feel anything the next day. That's a win-win. And I crashed. Let me take another sip of coffee. I woke up early. I always wake up early, it seems like, on Saturday, April 23rd. And I worked, and then I went and picked up my son, taking him to his baseball game. His first time out up there, he struck out. And he was sad, but he's stepping out of the box. He didn't put good swings on the first two, and the third one was way too high to call a strike. So he's upset about that pitch, but really he's stepping out. And I say, okay, don't worry about the umpire, but you can't step out of the box. And a lot of kids do this. They don't want to get beaned. This is the first year of live pitching. And he's been beaned. And he fucking hated it. And so it's just really common. And I'm not going to overreact to it. But I said, it's okay, man. But you got to stay in there next time. Like, yeah. And anyways, it seems like the game's going to end. It's been 2 hours. And the coaches decide to go one more inning. And so my son's going to get up there again. And he bats low in the order. He's only had one hit all season, I believe. And he's coordinated and strong and all that. And I know he's going up there, and I say, hey, man, I watch this pitcher warm up, which I do. I go watch the pitcher warm up if my son's going to hit. I say, he's throwing meat. He's throwing meatballs up there. And he says, no, he's not. He's throwing hard. And I said, no, he's throwing meatballs. And this is what you got to do. I said, stay in the box. He says, it hurts. I said, no, it doesn't. He says, yes, it does. I said, well, doesn't hurt that bad. And you can dodge it in the last second. I said, just stay in there and get mad at the ball. And, you know, I follow him up to the fucking batter's box, helicopter in this shit. And first pitch, he stays in there. He doesn't step or anything. He's just focused on staying in there like his dad told him. And then just all with his arms, no torso, he swings the bat and he fucking smacks the ball. And it's just like, it goes towards the shortstop and it just eats up the shortstop. Just fucking up his body, up his face. And my son forgot to run. He was a little shocked that he just mashed the ball so hard. He forgot to run. And I'm like, dude, run. And then he starts running to first base. So he could have got a double at least. He just gets a single, but he's happy. And he steals second. Stealing second in at this age is, I think the success rate is 100. So it's great, though. They just steal second. They can steal third. And the pitcher almost picks him off after he steals second. He's an abstract thinker, like his dad. It took me forever to make peace with this, that, like, I just am not good at, like, the details, and I'm just thinking about something else. And it doesn't mean you're crazy. It means you have a different mind. And my son's like, he didn't know to run after he hit, and he almost got he was leading off second, but like looking around or whatever, and the pitcher started running at him, and he barely made it back. And I'm glad. That would have sucked if he got picked off there. And anyways, the next kid gets out, and my son was the only one to get a hit off this pitcher. He wasn't exactly throwing meatballs. It was a good pitcher, but sometimes you gotta tell your son that. And so they're on the bench, and my son got the game ball from the week before, And as soon as the coach hands it to him, and he just grabs it and like opens up his baseball bag in the back and puts it in there and zips it up. That's, he wants that thing. He wanted a game ball all year. And this motherfucker, this kid, man, both of my kids, but I'm talking about this one right now. I'm so fucking glad that I hit rock bottom in life. Because I wasn't able to love him properly because I looked at him as me and I didn't love me. I fucking hated me. And until I hit rock bottom, and then I started, you know, the very beginning of thinking a little bit better about shit and was able to not hate myself anymore, not blame myself, not blame others. And more than that, realized he ain't me. He just looks like me. He looks like I did when I was that age, and he does a lot of things like me. And I love him so much. It's just, on this day, this is a big part of the come up that I need to get back to, you know, the spiritual equator before I start my next work week. And after the game, he said, we're going to Target. Because I said if he played hard, we'd go to Target. Well, yeah, we're going there. And he wants to get a Beyblade. And I want to get a soundboard for my TV. And I also want to get a TV downstairs. I hate spending money while I'm in debt on you know, big purchases. But it makes a lot of sense. This place is great, but it's small. So the bedroom is probably bigger than this room I'm in, the upstairs. And I got to make it, inhabitable? Where, you know, my kids can watch a movie down there. I can work up here. Something like that. So we do that. We don't get a TV, but I get one of those bracket things that goes in the wall and a soundboard, and he gets a Beyblade. And then we go get his sister, who wasn't feeling great, and we come back here, and I lost too much money on the NBA. And then I broke my fast, and I was feeling low. And sometimes when you go make a purchase, when you're feeling low, you feel better. I don't know. I just need to do it. I need to get a TV hung on my wall in my bedroom so my kids... So there's two places to hang out in my place. And my daughter wants to stay here. And my son's down to go with me to Target, another Target. And I said, okay, but you got to answer your phone. That's the one thing. You can stay here by yourself, but answer your phone. And so after we get this, we got a big fucking TV. And bringing it back. And she's not answering. And I start freaking out because I'm sure my blood pressure's up. I haven't been sleeping that great. A lot of energy drinks during the week, and I'm low on my cycle and all that. And I start having the worst irrational thoughts. I have such a height phobia, and I'm just so scared. And then my son, who's a lot like me, picks up on this, and he starts crying, and we're just so worried about her. And like he's like, you walk in the apartment first, and like, so we race back here, and I open the door, and she's just on Snapchat. She's on her phone, fucking Snapchatting with her friends. And I was very upset, and so is Lil Fuego, and she feels bad, and it's just two fucking emotional dudes, one 9 years old and one 48, and a 12-year-old daughter. It's like, you soft motherfuckers, chill out. And I had her help me carry in the TV, and I DoorDashed them some McDonald's. I didn't get anything. I've been eating healthier this year, and I've dropped 12 to 15 pounds, depending on what day I weigh myself. And hopefully we'll continue to drop some weight, just cutting out the bullshit food. I don't have any time for exercise, unfortunately. And I don't have enough time for sleep, but I can eat less carbs and just less horrible food. And I realized on this night, I felt better at that baseball game, and I still haven't hit the bottom yet. I feel bad, and I get to work. That'll help me. And my kids are watching Dumb and Dumber. They love that movie. They love Jim Carrey. And at 11:59 PM, I was caught up in the writing of the story of my life called Sessions. And I put my kids in bed, and my plan was to have a beer up here and just chill a little bit. Well, my son said, will you be on your laptop? It's great. This is his lullaby. This is what he's known since he's a little kid. He still is a little kid, kind of, but he's known his dad on his laptop as he's fallen asleep at the roadway, at the Ramada, the robot hotel, wherever. He's just known that, and that's what's comforting to him. And I don't know. He says, will you just be on your laptop so I can fall asleep? And I said, yeah, why not? And so I didn't have a beer. Just went down to my bed, got on my laptop, worked on some shit. And I need to stay awake until he falls asleep. Because he has my headphones on, and I just don't like him sleeping with headphones on. And he did fall asleep, took the headphones. I crashed, and I had horrible, horrible dreams about losing money and stuff with my kids. And those are sober dreams for you. And I woke up at 9 a.m. on Sunday, April 24th. That's 8 hours of pure sleep with horrible dreams. And 8 hours is good. And I came up here to work, and I was thinking, this is the time when my kids are asleep, I'm going to work on this document called Who is DJAF. It's going to be the prelude to sessions, a three-parter. And what is that goddamn noise? Is it the man above? No, he's not here anymore. I don't know. It's a neighbor being loud for the first time. But I think this will be, it'll be the final piece of framing my content, this three-part like intro to how I got into content. And yeah, just I really feel good about the work I've done. I know it's a huge project, and well, here I got 8 hours of sleep, my kids are asleep, I come up here and my head hurts so bad. And it's not often that you sleep 8 hours, you walk upstairs, you grab your laptop, and you immediately nap. And that's what happened. And then like an hour and a half later, my son came up and he's like, what are you doing up here? And I just, I got a 2-seat recliner and I'm on the right. I need to sleep. I still got my glasses on. I'm sleeping with my laptop on my lap. And he's on my left and he's on an iPad. And I just have my hand on his arm. That's just like, all right, dude, I love you. You play on that iPad right now or watch something and I need to sleep some more. And then my daughter got up and she had a concerned look on her face, like, why are you sleeping up here? And I just needed a nap. I slept, and I needed a nap, and then I needed to make some coffee, and I did. And then I worked on some Patreon stuff. Let me take another sip of this coffee and tell you what that's about, even though it's not the most interesting thing in the world. So, setback aside, Max Payne Monday debacle aside, I'm on my way up this year. And I put in the work, and I continue to put in the work. I'm taking 0 days off this year. And I don't know if I took any off last year. But anyways, I'm okay with it because this is the year this is the year. And so I know a lot of people are too high on their Patreon. They are doing it to kind of, they did it when they would want me to have like, enough money to afford a room at the Roadway. Things have changed. I am climbing out. My income is, I haven't done the math on it, but between hosting and podcasting and commentating and playing poker, it's got to be pretty fucking strong right now. So I want to get the tiers right on Patreon where everyone just goes to the tier that makes sense to them. Sure, if people have, are financially set or whatever, and they really enjoy the content and community and want to show that by being over their pledge being higher than whatever tier they use in the community or whatever, I'm not going to argue with that. But the people that were too high, just like the people with huge hearts that are also struggling financially, I don't want that. I want people to go to the tier that they want, the bottom tier is fine, 422, you get all the content. And that's cool, and that's fair. There's so much content now, it's value. And you also get the forum. And then the next tier is Slack, and that's really a big part of a lot of people's lives. It's social media that isn't, sometimes it's toxic. That's the nature of the internet and quick posting and all that shit. But it doesn't compare to like other social media. And then the next one up is poker, and the next one up is sports betting and whatever. I want it all to make sense. So I'm working on that. And then I added a top tier, and that's where I'm going to do Discord I just don't have time to answer the all the questions I get. I get them just endlessly on Twitter and everywhere. And I just, I'd like to, but I just don't have time. And you know, I'll probably always address them like very briefly, but I'm going to have Discord for the people at the top tier. Like you want advice on not on like a poker hand, but like playing poker, whatever. That's what the top tier is going to be. Anyways, when you create a new tier, I got to go back through every drop, what, 900 of them now, and add that tier. So there's a lot to work on this day. But for the first time in a long time, my head doesn't hurt. And then my kid's grandpa comes over and helps me install the TV. And it just feels gross to be have an expensive TV, but it's smart. And then he takes my kids back to their moms, and I set up that TV and the soundboard, and I clean, I break my fast, and I'm so fucking tired again. And then I try and talk to my girlfriend. I just have no energy. And luckily she's coming to LA the next day. And it's not easy. It's not easy at all having a long distance relationship. Nope, but you do it. If you love someone, you have no choice anyways. And I hate that I don't have the energy to talk on the phone when we're apart too much, because I'm just working from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. And, you know, a big part of it is my kids, but everything else is for everyone, for my kids, for me, for her, and, you know, for the future and whatever. It sucks. It's, you know, it's just what it is. But I had a poker rags meeting to run, and I had no energy, like none. And team's getting bigger and stronger. And I wrote, need someone to run it. Well, spoiler, I got someone to run it. And I'm very excited about this. And I'll reveal it just when it happens in the story. I think that makes sense. And anyways, after that, it's time to record a couple more drops. I want to get through as much as possible, because this is a lower time in my, you know, this couple weeks or whatever. You want to get through it. Once you spew it, it's gone. It is. And so I finished two drops, and then I produced them, and I did laundry, and I ate, and I worked. And then I had a Belgian on Sunday night, and I tried to find something to watch. I've been watching The Shield, but it gets a little repetitive. And then I put on something called Song Exploder on Netflix. That was pretty interesting. It was about songwriting. And the first song I chose was When You Were Young by The Killers. And I think The Killers are incredibly talented. And I thought it was interesting. And then I tried to watch another one. Wasn't that interesting? Whatever. I finished my beer and I got some sleep. And I woke up early on Monday, April 25th, and I did my normal correspondence and set up games, and I couldn't get out of bed. And I can't get out of bed, I'm depressed. I'm just exhausted. Or maybe it was both. I just couldn't get out of bed. And like, do you ever have that where you have to like, you have to use your hands to get out of bed? And yeah, I'm thinking, man, like, you got a big week. Your girlfriend's coming to LA. You get to finally see her and, like, get up and shower, pack up. And I had to go to Chase real quick because I got a new card and I had to get activated. And I headed up to LA, did more correspondence, listened to a little music, and I did a poker rags call. My schedule doesn't quit. I was meeting with Tony Lee, who's going to be doing some website work for us. And then I got to the Hustler, and it's time to play some poker. So yet another sip of coffee, and then let's talk about the session. All right. So on Monday, April 25th, at 11 a.m., I sat down in a 5-5-10 game. It didn't appear we were going to have 10-20 on this day. And so I want to have 5-5-10 and 10-20 every day. And I just will go to the one that has less players or, you know, needs me there, or if someone requests me, whatever. And so it's going to be 5-5-10. And, you know, Aaron Queskin's going to be there, and he's going to put the 20 on, and we're all going to play 5-5-10-20. It's a plenty big game. It's an action game because the stacks are not big. And anyways, I'm busy on my phone and just kind of folding. And then I get queen 10 of clubs and I open. And then Mark Goon's friend 3-bets out of position. I call. He 3-bets incredibly wide. And I call with queen 10 because queen 10 8. That doesn't suck. He checks. I bet half pot. He calls. The turn's an X. He checks. I bet half pot. He calls. The river's a 10. He checks. And I say all in. And the stacks are not deep. And he snap calls. And I say, I got nothing. And he turns over 10-9 suited. And then I turn over the queen 10. Hit him with the slow roll. Mark Goon's friend's probably the nicest dude that plays. Well, he's tied with Sandman for the nicest dudes that play in these games. And they're both good players. And Mark Goon's friend has been crushing. So I thought he needed a little slow roll in the smaller game. He's been playing the 10-20. There's no 10-20 on this day. So hit him with a little slow roll. That'll get your mood up. There's nothing I love more in poker than a good slow roll. And he smiled and, you know, rebought. And then I lose two little ones. I lose another one. And I take notes on the Notes app on the iPhone. But also, I'm always organizing the next day's games. So I was combining notes. It was turning into a shit show. And that can happen at the table. And that's okay. I make little sacrifices that make sense, right? Like, I'm not trying to play my best poker right now. If I was, I probably wouldn't have all this other shit going on. I would just be locked in and whatever. That, I'm not even into that shit. But you make sacrifices. Sometimes you just know you're gonna check a flop because you're talking to someone, which you should be doing as the host, and whatever. So in here, I got my notes on two different things. Like on my master planner, I'm typing, you know, hand histories, and I'm folding and leaking. I fold ace jack suited to a 3-bet. I didn't open in someone 3-bet. It was open in 3-bet in front of me. Just seemed like a fold. And then I raise with ace 4 clubs, and Aaron Queskin calls. And he's the one that I slow rolled on stream with aces against ace king, and he calls 60. So they all limp, and or no, I just opened to 60. Sorry, it's 5-5, 10-20, and he calls, and it comes queen 5 deuce with a club. I got ace 4 clubs. I'll bet 40 in position, and he calls, and the turn is a 3. Sorry, Fergie. Fuck, I told you that I would try and make a straight, and I did, and I didn't let you. I'll try and make another one this session. My bad. Okay, so I turn it straight, and I bet 100 now into 200, and he calls. And the river's a king, queen 5, deuce, 3 king, and I bet 300, and he calls. I don't know what he had, and I didn't slow roll him. I already got my slow roll against Mark Goon's friend. I don't need to slow roll Aaron. I already slow rolled him big, and when I'm running really good, I will tone those down. Anyways, it's time for my best play. I have pocket sixes, and I call the 5X open out of position. And it comes ace, queen, 6. And I check, and it's rainbow. And the person who 5X'd, just a newer player, bets. And I just call with bottom set. And I don't think they're that strong. And the turn's a queen, and I check, and they check. And the river's an X, and I check, and they check. I turn over my set, and it's good. Why is this my best play? It's so easy to think, well, shit, I didn't win shit with my set here. I should have raised the flop. I should have led the turn, possibly, probably not. I should have led the river. Wrong. I played the hand right. It's just, I'm just noting as my best play because I'm at my best when I'm not results oriented. Just call the big raise and you flop a set, ace queen. And sometimes people will bluff with hands if you check again on the river. So, or more likely, they'll go for thin value. And then if you can check raise, it doesn't rep much and you have it and it's good. Well, they just didn't have anything. It's fine. And so then I river to set and I bet and I folded because I didn't think something else got there, like a straight or a flush. And I didn't think the person would be raising with worse than my set. And I have ace, queen of hearts, squeeze, and lose the king 7 offsuit. Good. And then I have things start to get better. I'm going to take another sip because they're about to get better. All right, I finished off that cup of coffee. So no more sips. Let's drop. I have ace king against the writer. I open and someone three bets and the writer four bet from the small blind. And he's pretty aggro. And the writer is a regular in these games. You might see him on Twitter. Pretty funny dude. And pretty aggro. Cold four betting pocket sixes in the small blind. And I have ace king and we get it all in. And we run it twice. And here's what I wrote in my phone. So I wrote, ace king versus writer 6-6, all in pre-run twice. Hope he has an eraser. So I won both. And hoping the writer has an eraser, it's juvenile. It's made me feel good to do it in my phone. And then we're all in again. I have pocket queens and he has a mystery hand. And I wrote, I hope he has some white out. So I was needling the writer in my phone, not overtly. And that's okay. I stacked him. And then, okay, blind versus blind. And I'm out of position to Beanie Ryan. Who's Beanie Ryan? His name's Ryan, and he's friends with Beanie Adam. So that's Beanie Ryan. He doesn't wear a beanie that I know of, Ryan. But he's a cool dude that started playing these games, and he gets it. He has fun and gives action. He's good. But he's the good kind of good, where he just is laggy good and takes his beats well and laughs and whatever. And so it's blind versus blind. I have king nine offsuit and I open. And, you know, I have different strategies against different players and at different times and whatever. I decided to be opening here and he defended. And then I said, dealer, just stop for 1 second. And I said, Beanie Ryan. And he said, what? And I said, true story. And thank you, Fergie. Yeah, sorry I messed that first one up, but it's nice. Yeah, I'm glad to get you involved again. Okay. What are you doing? Just waiting for another straight? Okay. So, yeah, the flop came out Queen Jack 10, and obviously with no three bet, you just, Ace King never even crosses your mind. And but what does cross your mind is that he could have a lot of pair, two pair, maybe a worse straight. It's just a really good situation. So I just put out a normal continuation bet and he snap folded. And I showed because I was so happy to make a straight. And then I missed in a couple spots, but it doesn't matter when you're winning, missing and all, it doesn't matter at all. Sorry, Con, it doesn't. So session's going good. And then it's time for my worst play. I three bet pocket sevens versus Warren. And Warren's this awesome young Asian dude who drives a motorcycle and a lot of action. And it just seemed right to three bet pocket sevens, just wherever I was with whoever I had behind me and whatever else was going on, all the variables, it seemed right to three bet pocket sevens. It doesn't always seem right. It seemed right. So that's not my worst play. He calls. It comes 10-7-7. Quads. Okay. What the fuck? He checks. I bet a third pot. This is good. And this is good so far. Nothing so far is bad. And he calls. The turn's a king, and he checks, and I check back. Oh, man. What the fuck am I doing? Against, he's a very thinking player, and I should just be betting a lot here. Like I would if I had ace-jack or ace-queen or an air ball. I should be betting an amount, a really polarized amount here, and try and get him to go all. He's capable to get him to go all in or call light. And yeah, checking back here is just lame. And I checked back. And then the river's an X, and he checked, and I bet half pot, and he folded. And he said queens. So he thought I had queens. He did think I was scared of the king, but also, he knew when I checked back the turn that I didn't have a hand with air in it. It was bad. It was my worst play. It cost me some money, I believe. Even if he folds a turn, I don't care. I should bet a lot on that turn when the king comes. I should bet an amount that people would bet if they just picked up a gut shot. They're repping the ace king. All that shit against a player like this. He's got a lot of heart. He's very thinking, very capable. I fucked that up. And then I get pocket queens. No, I get ace king. And Aaron Questkin has pocket queens. And he has $1,200. So in a 5-5, 10-20 game, that money's going in pre. And we run it twice. And I win both again. I got all in with ace king against sixes, ran twice, and won both. I got all in with queens against a mystery hand, ran twice, and won both. And I got all in with ace king against queens, ran twice, and won both. And this is a really nice session. Just, you know, you're not going to run like this very often. So when you do, you just enjoy it, I guess. And I got time for one more hand, and then I have to go. I can only play 3 hours on this day, and then I got to go check into my hotel and come back and commentate. But let me tell you about this last hand and then the result, and then we'll do the countdown to 2023 scoreboard check. So last hand, I like to go out on a straddle. If you're winning, do that. It's good. Like, if you're losing, don't do that unless you want to. But if you've had an easy day, put out the 20 as your last hand. Why not? I did, and they all checked. And I had 8-7 offsuit. I mean, they all limped, and I had 8-7 offsuit. And I checked it. And then, you know, I said, guys, this is my last hand. I like to straddle on my way out. And I hope, you know, you all have a good day. I'll be back. I'll buy you guys drinks while I'm commentating. And I did. I ran a tab while I was commentating because I had a good day and I'm hosting and whatever. And so I said, you know, and sorry I ran hot and got to get out of here. And also, I said one more thing to these people. I said this. And with that, the flop came out 4-5-6 rainbow. That's the joint, and there's a bunch of limpers in there, and I'm going to be checking and likely raising, and I check, and everyone behind me checks. And the turn comes out, whatever, and I bet really small. Hopefully someone will raise. Instead, they all fold. So what? A really pure running session. It makes you realize just how much of a joke poker is. And I don't mean to be, you know, I know a lot of you love it, but you run good, it's just so easy. You run bad, it's impossible. And I played for 3 hours and I won $2,000 an hour just doing nothing, just playing standard spots, standard. Didn't do anything. I was on my phone mostly organizing the next day's games and whatever. And so let's pause the story. Let's do the countdown to 2023 scoreboard check after week 16, and then we'll pick up in the story when I go check in to my hotel. So hours, I only played 10 hours this week. I was adjusting my schedule to get the night I play on stream to be dropped on Fridays usually. So that's okay. I'm still at 200. I'm at 246 hours, and the pace is 240, 15 a week after 16 weeks. So I'm 6 ahead of pace. And the quest is to get to 750 hours. Okay. Wins. I got 2 wins and 1 loss. I lost that one at Oceans where that dickhead slow rolled me, and you know, whatever. And I won the other 2, and that's 5 points. So I have 70 points. The pace is 80. Obviously 10 points behind pace here to try and get to 250 points. 50 weeks, I want to win 2 and lose 1 on average. And that would be 5 points every week. And anyways, we're at 31 wins and 17 losses on the year. For those of you keeping score at home. Now it's time for my favorite part of this scoreboard check this year. And last year it was Poker Rags where we killed it. This year it's the Patrons, and this is very important to me. I've never made a penny from Poker Rags. it's my startup. Everything that we make goes back into it to build it. And we got some exciting news coming. But Patron's, this is my salary. And this is people saying, I like your content enough to pay for it. And I like your community enough to pay for it. And anyways, it's been on fire this year. And Costa Disc Golf signed up. So I'm guessing that's like Central California disc golfer. And I love disc golf. I haven't played. I would love to play. I miss fucking playing with Irie Guy in his day one out in Vegas. Man. Anyways, he signed up. Or she may have signed up. Whoever it is. They. You know. And Ryan, a kid who stopped me when I was just running from one job to another at the Hustler and said, hey, I just want you to know I really respect your journey and I love your podcast and I'm going to be a patron. And I love shit like that. Like, not for your ego, but just for, okay, this makes it all worth it. Like, you actually get something out of this spew. It's just sometimes, like, maybe this one was boring and or dark at the beginning. And I know the previous one or some of the previous ones were dark and... But it's relatable. And then when things are light, it's light. And I don't know. And Ryan signed up and Max signed up. And then someone signed up in a different language. I think Chinese. So I don't know. I have no idea how to pronounce their name. But that's 4 new signups, 16 points. Someone deleted for some other reason. Of course, something I do or say will offend someone occasionally. And they'll delete. If it's for financial reasons, they usually put it. They put some other reason. It's I pissed them off in one way or another. Or they're thinking of it differently. They're thinking of, well, I'm giving you this money. I want you to spend it wisely, or which is not true. You're paying for content and community, and you are like being supportive. But also, it's an exchange of goods. And anyways. Gorv Nice gave me a raise to $15 and Navels gave me an insane raise, $69. And I know these two did it after that brutal session on Monday and they were trying to pick up my spirits and they did pick up my spirits with this. I encourage them if they want to go back down to whatever tier that they use in the community, please do after, you know, I'll take this one time. You don't need to stay there, is what I'm saying. I know they did it to pick me up, and I appreciate that. I fucking love it. I love the sentiment of it. I love the financial implications, but no need to stay there. I greatly appreciate it. And Paulie, Eric, Troy, Dave, and David signed up. Oh, 5 more. That's 20 points. And the ex-singer gave me an insane raise. He went to the top tier. As mentioned, there's going to be Discord for the top tier. And so I want people to very soon go to the tiers that where they're going to use this stuff in the community. And yeah, and if you get a ton from this content or the community and you want to pledge more per month and you're caked off, I ain't stopping you. I ain't going to battle you. I'm staying for those who are more like me that are in not great financial situations. Go to the tier that you want. And I will, any demotions I will not take personally. But I really appreciate that ex-singer. And same thing. They're doing it to pick me up after a fucking horrible night. And how great are these people? I can rant about them. I can say they're pissing me off with their judgments on Slack. And yeah, they don't understand the hands. No one does. If you're not there, you can't understand. And I can rant about it. And I always, when I do, I'm worried, oh my God, I'm going to lose so many patrons. No, they give me raises. They're just the most understanding, fucking amazing people. And then Brian, Martin, and Rob signed up 12 more points. So we netted 11 new patrons this week. We're crushing. That's 44 points. We're at 496 points on the year. The pace is 192. We're at 304 points ahead of pace. I want to get to 600. That was the goal for the year. And we're way ahead of pace. And let's blow it out of the fucking water. Let's get me financially set and watch the monkey jump off my back and crawl over to some other broke joke and be on their back until they can climb out. Anyways, holy shit. Thank you all that signed up, the raises, the continued support from the rest of you. Pretty insane. Poker Eggs, Lisa S., my girl out there in Rochester, New York, bought an item off my page on pokereggs.us. That's a point. That's all we got this week. I ain't going to complain. 1 point. We got 44 in the year. Pace is 135. So we're 91 behind pace on the quest to get to 423. Okay. We got a Kanye design coming. Maybe that'll help. Let's check out the score that matters most. Countdown to 2023. We got 60 points this week. That's a good week. It's a good, healthy week. Carried by the Patrons, the new Patrons. And the pace right now is 647 points. That's where we need to be at to get to 2023 by the end of the year. We're at 856. We're 209 points ahead of pace. And that is what's up. Sessions is brought to you by Poker Rags. Poker Rags, we dress poker players. Sessions is also brought to you by the Hustler Casino in Los Angeles. Lowest rake, best food, and craziest action in town. If you would like to have access to every drop of Sessions, over 700 of them and counting, plus access to my other podcast, Solicited Advice Podcast, and or you want to be a part of the sick as fuck community I'm building, DGAF Community, head on over to patreon.com/DGAF Poker Player and sign up to become a patron today.